There's so many ways of putting it. And none is true, and all are true, and all at the same time. And
everything things are only relevant according to their appropriateness. There's a time, when they are called into action, because then they have the power to really reveal the self. If they are only expressed for mental gratification, yeah, then that's also, I don't know what to say about it. I don't feel that the state of being has the job of teaching anything. It simply is.
Mm-hmm.
That's its natural resting place in its own amness or isness. But naturally encounters come, and somehow a kind of communion takes place spontaneously out of that.
Since this material world and even the thoughts or whatever it is, or whatever can be named, is some kind of a crystallization out of this self or of the self, and then some kind of reflections within it seem to happen. And one of the strongest, or one of the reflections which impresses you obviously and me also, is this reflection of the self to itself. So this inward.
Yes.
Looking at what can be seen.
Yes, when it comes to this point where it is clear that it's only the self is behind every mask, and it is having a love story with its own self. When it becomes clear like that, then it's a very wide joy. It's a very wide joy. The whole menace of the egoic mind, it completely loses power. It completely loses power. And when the seeing is confirmed in itself, the mind that was formerly operating deceitfully quickly changed sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then join the winning team and becomes a good servant.
Yeah, that was an amazing one. Yeah? When there were some insights here, it was noticed that all my life basically was thrown away because the truth was not seen. And all the life, it means almost 50 years, but still the insight wasn't worth it. So
yes.
No
yes,
problem.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. It's funny because when somehow the delusion breaks open, or the truth breaks through the delusion, whichever way we feel comfortable to put it, and even the life which we see was not true, but still it felt it needed to be like that up until that point. It was also a hand taking you towards the truth, but you could not see it. We could not see it.
Yes.
We believed it too much, and we were in a state of some form of sleep, I guess. And
a long night, you know. And then you wake up in the morning. Oh, what's this? Oh. Somehow.
Very good.
So what would be the recommendations for somebody who is touched by talks like this, for example, and still is at the beginning of a path or whatever, what would be the recommendation to start with?
What I would like to say to anyone who, say, listens to this kind of conversation and feels touched somehow, is don't get busy in yourself. Already it means that something is striking at an essential place within your own self. And sometimes the mind wants to participate, but it's the same old regime. And it wants to participate into, I want to get somewhere with this. And I said, no, it's okay, you can be aware of that. But more being the attitude of saying yes to this, yes to that intuitive space. That space, usually when we are touched, what I feel happens is that there's a sense of an inner space opening up. And just to be in a state of yesness to that, to welcome that, because it's already, something is already moving, and it wants to come to flower by itself as well. It is not usually what we expect. We think, okay, now what do I do? Where do I go? I should go and do this, and I should go and do that. And I say, no, don't panic. It's good. It's better to kind of keep quiet and to allow the words or what the words are pointing to have a sense of the space in them to somehow happen by themselves a little bit. Be quiet with yourself, and if something resonates and something wants to move towards that or to welcome this, then it's already what you're doing. You're already welcoming it. And I say, just be quiet with yourself. Sit in the energy of that feeling, that space, and out of that something will come, rather than from outside or from the mind. Out of that there will come a kind of a prompting, a sense. It may not come in the form of a direction to say turn to the right. You may just find that you go to the right, and you encounter someone or something that just makes that recognition a little bit more tangible. Like, wait, it's almost like something is assisting, like my actions are wind assisted. You feel it's beautiful. Actually, it's a beautiful
opening.
Opening. It's a kind of date. It's a kind of on your first date with the Supreme Being. It's taking you through something that it's not to be shared with anybody just yet. Just be with that, I would say, like that. And like this, you begin to see that there is a power. It's not just mind power, but there's a power broader than mind, inexplicable, that is uniquely connected with you somehow. It may be expressed or felt like a movement of love or towards love or grace or something indefinable. We don't have to give any name to it. But there's already a stirring happening, and there's an intuitive welcoming of that, a yearning for that, a longing for to come more fully into that. So already things are turning. This is what I would say. Rather than to start reading a lot of books and so on, I said, no, just be quiet with yourself and it will come. And then I would say, if you have the chance to go to some satsangs, then you go and sit a little bit in the energy field of satsang. And even if you don't have any questions, just be in that. Just be in that, like how you sit under a waterfall. Just be in that. And something is being carried in this. This is what I would really want to encourage, that it's already begun. Not how do I get started? No, it's already begun. just keep on saying yes to that intuitively in your heart. Just say yes to it. Just come, whichever way that I need to go, whatever, you know, needs to take place. I'm opening to that. I'm opening to the all possible. This is beautiful, you see.
Yes. Good way of putting it.
Yes. So that you don't leave it to somebody to kind of mark out a course for you, but somehow you're just somehow available. It's almost like you make yourself available without trying to direct the energy what you need. So don't go into a place of need. I want this, I want that. No, but just make yourself, present yourself to that. Just say, yeah, I'm up for it, whatever. I don't know what my path would be, but that's okay because I'm saying yes to that. That's already a very good way.
It's a strong start, yeah?
Yes, it is.
Even though it sounds utterly simple, most people have learned, yeah, in order to achieve something, you have to do something. So reading or all this stuff could be a natural movement in this old habit of thinking or acting.
Yes. If it comes, for some people, if it comes that something wants to go out in that kind of, in the energy of that, the impulse to move, to make some step, then it's fine also. Nothing's wrong. It's fine like this. But I would just say also, don't panic. Don't feel like, oh, if I don't move, nothing, because that's how the old mind would behave.
Exactly. But
already, it's like, this yesness internally is a good way of putting it.
Yes,
because it is simple, you see, and it's like you come to see that there's a power in the universe somehow that works completely different from how your mind works, and you're starting to love it. You're still going to start that finding that maybe it's unpredictable. And you're discovering that you also can be unpredictable. I don't mean erratic and, impulsive. But too much being predictable is a kind of death, you know. Something has to be fresh that also you can surprise your own self. Sometimes words will come out of your mouth that you are hearing for the first time yourself. Something, you see, like sometimes you undergo a slow change in behavior. These are really good things, but then the mind says, oh, watch out, you see what's happening, you're falling apart and so on, and you have to be able to bear the kind of doubts that come up in the mind like that.
As you said in the beginning, yeah, the truth is eternal and it is here. Yeah.
Yes. So. In fact, it is the only thing that is here. Everything is a cloud passing.
Yeah.
Everything is a cloud passing, so we can say a cloud is also here, but momentarily.
Yeah.
Everything momentarily, and it is fine. It's meant to be that it's momentarily. But it is passing in the presence of that which is timeless. Looking through your eyes, sometimes I ask the people, who is looking out from behind those eyes? And somebody once said to me, conditioning is looking out. I said, this is a very, very honest answer, you see. But then, there is also something that is watching that conditioning is looking out, and that is earlier than conditioning. You see?
What is that?
Yes. And first of all, the very fact that we are aware of it is already the fact that it is already so. Then we may say, well, can that itself be conditioned? If conditioning is watched, even seeing is seen. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very direct pointing that sometimes the mind cannot bear it. It's like it's too direct, you see. But for others, they totally love that. They feel, oh yes, it's time, enough time spent scratching about, you know. So this type of looking is like a mind bypass, straight in to that place, which is the uncreated space, in front of it, what is creative or created or appearing or disappearing, everything you see in that, everything is a kind of traffic of sensations, concepts, emotion, feeling, and the dance of interrelated opposites. All of that is taking place in front of this. But this itself cannot be seen. Sometimes I ask, can that itself be seen? You see? And just the very attempt to really look into, invite this question and looking in, already is burning forests of illusion. Sometimes you're not ready to see that at the end of the road we are not really an object. We are pure subjectivity. And there's something, sometimes we have to go through a door of fear a little bit may come, because we have taken some sense of security out of the feeling that we are objects, we're tangible beings that way. And to come to a place where you are there before even the object, the objective expression, before even your portrait of yourself come, something is there which has no image, that can feel a little bit of a, you know, a heart attack for the mind. But if we can face it, we can bear it, then what a great finding. What a great beauty.
I think one can play with it also, yeah. Just playing with the sensation, yeah, that the body already is a perception and an appearance, and there is an instance which perceives already this. I think that might be an intermediate step to play with.
I think really that for a while, so profound is this kind of discovery that we will not be in a playful mood if we are authentic. You know, it will feel too profound, too possibly life altering to yet call it a play. If when we are looking with that that intensity, with that kind of inner focus, you don't know if what you are going to find, because sometimes when we are looking and you come to a point where you know that if you go further, what you discover might be so so profound that it may change your life in so many different ways, then sometimes there's hesitation to really go more deeply into that. And but if we are fooling around a little bit, if we are just experimenting for experiencing, we are again attracted to experiencing, then you can say yes, we can play with this. But at a certain point, the playfulness changes and becomes something more acute in its intensity. The prospect of the deconstruction of some of our thought processes and conceptual projections, that can feel very, very imposing. But a rare one goes consciously and says, yes, even here, yes. But only usually because you've had a taste, a foretaste of that infinite power. And something, it still can feel a risk, but something says, yes. It jumps without a parachute, and beyond that we cannot speak.
Just trying to find ways to explain to explain this.
I only want to explain to those who really are candidates for freedom, in a kind of sense I've said it is. It's just that there comes a time when there's a readiness, but not necessarily that one knows I'm ready, but somehow it's coming out, because there isn't here any desire to shake people into awakening. So if it comes, it's already something that is brought about. It comes like that, and then there's real joy in this, that kind of communion. Real joy, because sometimes every step, every moment is a deeper expansion into towards that seeing. And when it finally, you know, strikes home, this, when the fearful mind is not only in the back seat, it's not the driver anymore, it's not only in the back seat, but it's fallen out of the car itself. this is a great moment, and it's not a moment like I would say awakening is an event or anything, because I don't call what is an event, but the event, if there is one, is the recognition that occurs to the mind that and it simply merges in that wholeness and wholesomeness, and is fortunately and auspiciously lost in the infinite. Something like that.
That's like infinite.
These are words that can only have meaning intuitively. When we speak about words like infinite, timeless, we can only have an intuitive, we can only be touched intuitively about them, because the mind has no way of measuring that. Yes. But yet, our being has a familiarity with this language. Yes. It knows that, isn't it?
Yeah, it points towards the outer frontiers somehow.
Yes.
Towards the, I don't know. I can't put it into.
Well, it removes the sense of boundary.
Yeah.
It removes the sense of any boundary, which unconsciously we don't realize how that somehow is unnatural for us in our intimate being. Because something inside knows intuitively that we are boundless. I don't think we know it at the front of our mind in the same way, but sometimes we know this when we are really pushed into very intense experiencing, or we are pushed by the force of some deep sorrow or tragedy. We are pushed beyond our imagined limits, and it's revealed somehow that we are beyond our limit. But normally in our so-called comfortable zone of existence day to day, we are not really, we're not in touch with that, consciously with that infinite, with the infinite. When I say like this, when I refer to us, we, I'm speaking as the consciousness that is still in relationship in terms of identity with the mind and conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Because always consciousness cannot be ruled out, even in the most deep and deluded egoic expression. It's still sitting in the lap of consciousness. Consciousness is there, but it's just not conscious of its consciousness.
I sometimes have situations when things become tense, so somehow the ego then is on, or we might call it ego. Do you have these situations also from time to time, or?
Well, actually, we do talk about these things, because sometimes there are some tensions come, and people ask, what is the meaning of it? And I tell them that the meaning of the tension that you're feeling in the chest right now is that there is tension in the chest right now. That's all it is. And because the mind will take this and start to, wrap a story, because around it. Normally, I say, actually, it's saying here that battery is going to run out on this. I will continue. Ordinarily, any experience that takes place, any sensation that occurs, is completely a natural phenomenon. That is not the problem in itself. The problem begins when certain kind of tendencies to interpret and to judge then swims up around these feelings or sensations, And then this whole process of interpreting and exaggeration begin, and it is that that gives off the bad smell, really. So, of themselves, they don't mean anything. As long as you have this body, it is prone for so many different sensations will visit. For me, I have no keep-out signs. So everything can come, but they are only tourists. There's no need to offer tenancy to any concept, to any thought. But let them come, let them come. Let them come, let them play, let them go. What is the most powerful tool or the most powerful time of realization, the most powerful transcendence of mind, is when the mind and its effects become insignificant to the being. Because mind only has power for as long as it appears to be significant for us, as long as we have interest and belief and identity with the mind, then it has power. The mind, the egoic mind, cannot intimidate the pure being. It can only intimidate that which the idea we have of who we are, but it cannot intimidate what you are. So when we are living in a notion of ourselves as being Mr. So-and-so, and you have all these other attributes that we consider to be what we are, then the mind can work with that. It can challenge that. It can confront that, because any identity formed outside our natural self recognition as the pure awareness, any other identity, any facet of identity to do with the body-mind, is a state of insecurity. It's a state of vulnerability. It's going to be there. No matter how strong a Goliath you may think you are, then there will be a David to take you down. So, it's very untrustworthy, very unreliable. Any state that we identified with, apart from our natural being. So, in a conscious recognition, conscious grasping of this truth, then all of these fears, all these delusions will flee. They may appear momentarily, because you are a living being. If I take this glass of water I have in front of me like this, and I move my hand, the water will move, because it's like this. It's the nature of it. But if I put it back on the table and leave it, it's going to become still again. Mm-hmm. And just the same way, the consciousness is a very vital force also. And so emotions can come, and it will tremble for a moment. But because there is no person there to receive the impact of that psychologically or emotionally, then it comes to stillness naturally without any effort. So therefore I say, don't worry about any sensation that can happen in the body. Even fear can happen momentarily, but it cannot linger and it cannot proliferate, because it has no root and no soil to grow in. Like that it will happen. But as a living being, yes, any visitor can come across your country, but none of them is given tenancy to dwell with you, and not need it.
There is no host.
Yes, there is really no host. The host is just the thought, this is happening to me.
Yeah.
Then that would be a host thought.